Welcome to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We're so glad that you came this morning. I know it's a bit chilly, but we're going to have a good time. Amen. All right. We've been covering in this month just talking about how to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Last week, I dwelt on the heart, and we described that as the faculty of our emotion or our feelings. Today, we're going to talk about loving God with your soul. I hope it comes up. Okay, let's see what happens. There we go. Okay. How do you love God with all your soul? The soul is the faculty of your being. Let me describe it another way. If you lose a loved one, you know that in your head that they're gone. But the pain you feel is from your soul. That no amount of understanding takes that pain away. Does that make sense? In other words, in the Bible, we can use the terminology soul to refer to someone, but it's also used to describe the deep part of our being. Does that make sense? And many of us don't wrestle enough with this aspect of our soul because of how hard it is sometimes to grasp it. So it's best left alone. But I'll attempt this morning to put it to you that the soul is your being, your deep sense of who you are. This is something that if we don't give 100% to God, it's always held back. It's always held back. In fact, if you really think about your life, the life traps you have, the scars you have are on your soul. The things that you keep doing, keep coming back to, you're really scarred on your soul. That's the stuff that holds you back. It's not because you don't know it's wrong. You do, but you're not able to change it back anyway. It's not because you don't understand it. It's because your soul is scarred. Now, the question of how do we come from that, we're going to deal with that a little bit today. If you understand that your soul, your sense of being is held back, and that is what God is trying to turn around, and if you don't fix that, you're never going to get to that position of giving God your whole, your mind, heart, and soul. It's going to be held back somewhere. So let's get into it. How do you love God with all your soul? Let's get there. It takes being vulnerable to God's word. In other words, laid bare, not pretending. You surrender to God, not guarded. It's not a boxing match. It's not a wrestling match with God that you surrender to God. Hebrews 4, 12, 13 says, "For the word of God is alive and active." I like that space. The word of God is alive and active. It really can shake you around, help you go in the right direction. It says, "Sharper than any double-edged sword." And I don't know if you've ever seen a double-edged sword. And I know that I saw John once give away a double-edged sword, and I said, that's a dangerous thing to play with, but it's a good one. It cuts both ends. It says, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. That the word of God is able to get to your soul if you surrender. If you will let God get to your soul, he will do that. But that's where we're most scarred and most guarded. So we will agree with God. We will agree mentally with God that that's right, God. We will say that that's what it is. But for the most part, we never let him touch our soul. And especially the word of God. We never let it penetrate and surrender and say, if this is what God says, God, surely it must be true. Is it possible in your life that yes, you know God, but you've never let God touch your soul? Because that space, you're so scared, you're afraid for God to come in and start healing. And the pain of healing a scarred place is immense. We'll talk about that down the stream of today. It's immense. So because we're so scared, we instead look for ways to protect, argue with God. And anyone that is pro-God, and tell them how they don't understand it. And we said, no, the word of God can get to your soul if you surrender. That's why it takes being vulnerable to God's word. That I am open for you, God, to speak to me as an open an open soul that is broken inside but needs to hear from you because you are God. That I respect your sovereignty. And I do understand that you know what is best for me and you will guide me in the right direction. So it penetrates the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We talked about that last week, so I will not spend a lot of time on the heart side today. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. I want you to understand that. Nothing in this creation is hidden from God's sight. I tell people I'm a church minister, and I have elders and other people I work with, but my biggest boast I cannot hide from. God, He knows how I use my time. I cannot give stories to God. He sees everything. He sees my heart, my mindset, the way I see things. He sees that. That's a good boast to have, you know. Because you have to style up quickly. You can't play games around there. It says here that He sees everything. Is uncovered and laid bare before. Then it says here in the second part, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him who we must give account. You see, if God already is doing that, who is deceiving who by holding on their soul and not giving to God? This morning, who's deceiving who? You've been telling yourself this narrative of why you don't want to change and your soul is scarred. Who is deceiving who? God sees it and says, if you just laid bare, I'll come in. So who's deceiving who? I'm only saying it. Don't focus on me. Focus on what it says over there. Who's deceiving who this morning? The Bible says He sees everything. Our souls are held captive because we will not let the scarred places be revealed to God's will. And we have many scarred issues. We're scarred with our mother, scarred with our father, scarred with society, scarred with people in authority, scarred with church. And Bible says, I can get there and resolve that issue. If you just surrender and let God help you out with that. Once you understand that, then you begin to value your Bible studies, your quiet times, and get into that and talk about and deal with that well. Because then you have to surrender and get God, let God deal with that stuff that's inside you. Some of that stuff, you'll argue with God for years, but eventually you surrender and God will fix that. Now, have you ever been in a place where you're arguing for so long and then when you say it's okay, the answer is so easy? You almost say, why did I spend so much time arguing? I wish I just said day one, amen, yeah, let's make it happen. I remember trying, being a Christian at 21, I said, why did I not do this at 18? It's an important space for us to understand today. I know you've read, many of us have read this scripture before, but you need to surrender to God's word so that the healing can start to happen. Amen? Amen. Secondly, it takes relationships with God to drive away fear. Let's face it, you're afraid. Yeah, you are afraid. You're afraid of poverty. That's why you're going to wake up tomorrow and go to work. Yeah, if you aren't afraid of poverty, you stay home. But you are afraid, you wake up tomorrow, you go to work on time because you're afraid of losing that job. You're afraid of many things. You're afraid of the future. You're afraid of how people see you. You're afraid of many things. Do I fit in? Do I not fit in? We have all those fears. The Bible says here, do not be afraid of those who will kill your body, then cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both your soul and body in hell. We are so afraid of things that touch our external. But we don't understand how when the soul is not being healed, everything else goes south. Many of us have traumas that have scarred our souls. And the reason we will not rise is because we don't go to this space of, okay, wait a minute. What's my relationship like when it comes to just dealing with fear? What's your fear? What's holding you back? Here's what I found out. If you don't deal with fear, God will put you in a place where you'll eventually have to deal with it. Life will bring you to that space. So I like to know my fears and say, God, I put them in your hands and I'm okay. I hope it never comes, but if it comes, give me the grace to deal with it. So he's saying this, that don't fear. Don't fear people that will destroy you. He was talking about the disciples going out to reach out to people. And, you know, they were afraid. He says, don't fear that. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. God has the best interest for you. If a sparrow will not go down and a copper coin, listen, he knows you and he cares for you. You need to understand that so that fear can leave you. The idea that I don't know what's going to happen, God is on your side. Now, if the author of life is on your side, why would you be afraid? Unless you don't know him. If the source of life is on your side, why would you be afraid? Because you don't know him. That's the only reason you're afraid. You know of him, but you don't know him. You've heard of him, but you don't know him on a personal level. That is what creates this fear and just takes over and controls everybody. It takes a relationship with God to drive away fear. It doesn't take just messages, a relationship with him. It doesn't take just conversations with people. You need to have a relationship with God. So I ask this question. Do you know what a relationship looks like? A lot of people say, you go to school with someone and you think you have a relationship with him because you go to the same school. Or you live in the same house and you think you have a relationship. The problem is that sometimes you live in the house and you hardly speak to one another. And when you speak, in today's world, you can live in the same house and text each other. In the same house, just texting each other, this, that, and I left a voice, this, and all that stuff. And before you know it, we don't see each other. We're in the same house. And like, what happened to the human factor? If there's anything dying in society, it's a relationship aspect. People don't know in relationships. Even dating sites are saying, oh, well, let's find you a way to meet someone. How do you meet someone? By swiping right or left? You judge by how they look. Are you kidding me? There are so many people that can do makeup. They can make me look 20 years younger. How are you going to make a decision like that? I talk about that because relationships is what we don't know how to do. You have to spend time with someone to know them. Some of us don't even know the second name of the people you hung around with. Or their third name. Yeah, at least I have 5 names. You didn't even know that. Yeah, I can have all many aliases. Also known. You don't even know. Do you know how their family was like when they grew up? You don't know that. Do you know what they like and don't like? You don't know that. But that is what it takes to know God. We're always in a hurry. What? To go somewhere. To do nothing. We do nothing. We're just busy doing nothing. And I'm challenging us today. It says here very clearly, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm a small guy. So I was threatened a lot by many big people as I grew up. Some beat me up and some I stood up to. But I figured, no, they just talk. They'll do all kinds of things. Overall, you look at them and say, you know what? You're the one that's afraid of me. Don't be afraid. Stick with God. I think that I want to drive that home today. Don't be afraid. Stick with God, the source of this life. There's nothing he cannot take care of. There's nothing he cannot take care of. I need to move on. I would say that forever. We have to get real with God and godly friends. If you've dealt with fear, you'll start getting real. Here, John 12, 23, 28. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for me for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus is about to go on the cross. This is our Lord, and says, you know what? I'm about to go on the cross, and he starts telling them this story of, unless a kernel of wheat falls down and dies, it will not grow. Something happens if you don't let the things in your soul that control you to die, they'll always control you. Your traumas, your issues, if you don't let those things dealt with die in your soul, they'll always control you. You have to let that die to produce many seeds. Anyone who loves his life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. When you lose this stuff, that's when you begin to connect with God. When your soul begins to be repaired, you begin to connect with God. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. That conversation gets to the soul. It says, now my soul is troubled. And then he says, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this very hour I came for. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. This conversation was happening between him and his friends. He was talking to the three disciples over there. And then he was also praying about it. And I want to ask you, if you're going to get real, then this is the Lord. He would have had every reason to pretend to be perfect, to pretend to have it all together, to pretend to, I'm not afraid, to pretend to, I am the Lord. Why should I be afraid? He says, my soul is overwhelmed. Can I tell you something? It's very easy to pretend. That's very easy. I see it every day. I walk around and I say, yeah, I've done that. To pretend to be something you're not. That's a big facade in our society today. If you're a teen, please get this down. Don't pretend. Everybody, it all starts out when you're young, who's looking, how do you look? Then you come to a stage of who's the most pretty and who's the most handsome. Forget that stuff. And then before you know it, who has the best girlfriend? And then before you know it, who got the job? And before you know it, life is just the same. You've got to figure these things out quickly before time. Say, you know what? It's not about the stuff of pretending to fit in. He was very vulnerable and talked about that and said, you know what? I'm overwhelmed. I have a question for you. How real are you? Are you the same person at church? Are you the same person at home? Are you the same person? We have two people, church people, home people. Home person, church person. How real are you? Do you have friends that you really talk about stuff? One of the biggest things is, you know, I don't want you to come to church and pretend. No, I don't try to pretend. This is me. Ask my family. They'll tell you I have my quirky side. They'll tell you that's him. Don't pretend. Just, you need to get real. Then God will deal with that. Does that make sense? The idea that you come to church to pretend, that's like going to a doctor and saying, I have no problems, but I came anyway. I am perfectly fine, but I came anyway. You don't come to church to be perfect. You come to church because you're broken so that God may deal with that. Amen? So we don't come to church to pretend that we are fine. How are you doing? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. That is not the source of why we come to church. The soul must be brought to bear with God. Amen? Amen. The soul is very hidden. We do a good job to do that. It's very hidden. We do a very good job to do that. It's hidden because from a very early childhood, when you're growing up, people criticize things about who you really are. And you learn to hold them back. Some of those people are very close to you. And you learn to keep that soul very hidden. And that's why you never bring it out. So you carry those things. You start as early and you bring those things to church as well. God wants to have a relationship with you. But to that, do you have real friends that you talk about what you're going through? Some of us will feel very alone because you have no friendships. Friendship is not fixing the other person all the time. That's not friendship. They say, I'm feeling this, that, and you start fixing them. Nobody asks you to fix them. Stop fixing. Do you know how to have a friend? To listen. To love them. To say, I can tell you something if you want to hear, but if you don't want it, that's okay, I still love you. Friendship is not with every guy that agrees with you all the time. That's not friendship. That's cloning people. So that's why we don't know how to have friendships. Friendship is not always tearing people down and telling them how not good they are. That's not friendship. We've got to learn to build friendship. Jesus had friends. They didn't say, but you are the Lord. How can you be afraid? They didn't go there. They didn't say that to him. They listened to him. Oh, well, of course, we know the story. Some of them slept, but Jesus worked it out. Anyway, and they were, kept the friendship. I believe that when your soul is put before God the way Jesus does, and then you have that kind of friendships, growth happens. Amen. You change. You're differentiated. Something happens to your soul. The devil is fighting for your soul. Let's talk about this. Now, some of us like to blame the devil for nothing. We have to be clear about that stuff. Well, it was the devil that made me take it. No, you stood up and put your hand in it and you took it. The devil did not make you do that. Let's not go that direction. Does that make sense? It's the devil that did. Now, we like to blame the devil for different things, but let's talk about this. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. The desires are waging war against your soul. And that's why your soul can be very powerfully driven to do certain things that are not wrong. It's the soul that is scarred. And because the desires are there, the soul gets taken on and again and again and again. And you never hold yourself back. Why? Because these desires are waging war on your soul. It's not that you don't know it's wrong. You know that. What needs to change is to walk with your soul and say, God, I am submitting myself to you. I'm done arguing with it. Then it says, leave such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. The devil is fighting for your soul and he's going to use desires. Now this is what happens. If some of us as Christians, we try to be perfect. So the devil uses that desire to be perfect to now fight your soul. So he got you pretty good because in your quest of being perfect, you stop being real, and now he's using that perfection to drive your soul away from God. And you think, well, I think I'm fine. No, he's figured a way in your perfection, in your worship of idol, that idol of perfection has now become his tool to drive your soul away from God. What about the story of what will people think about me? That's an old one. That is another thing the devil uses. That if people really knew who you were, they will not accept you. But meanwhile, I have you in the back pocket of me. So don't tell. Stick quiet. And I will use that as a battle tool on your soul. So we're never free. Christians, but not free. And the Bible promises that if you come to me, I'll give you life to the full. And if you practice, you will know the truth. And yet we're not free because we're not practiced. So we are held captive by thoughts, captive by issues of history, captive by what the world tells us every day. And yet for some of us, we even feel captive because I've been a Christian for so long. How can I not know this? We are never meant to master Christianity, but to have a walk with God. You're never going to get a PhD as a Christian. That's never happening. That's not happening. The day you do that, you're in trouble. Christianity is not about PhD. You got to get real. He's fighting for your soul. And this, we've got to get real with these issues. So the soul is so deep, it's this one thing as a church we don't even talk about a lot. We just don't, what's happening in my soul? We've got to get there and be bare before God and let God deal with that. Amen? Let's do some notes here about how he does this. I said he's fighting for your soul. Let's do some notes here. One of the notes is just we can get very judgmental. You judge everything. When you are judgmental, you cannot connect. Your soul is the one that's hurting. And when your soul is hurting, it cannot empathize for other people. Empathy is something you cannot do if your soul is not working right. You just judge. It's funny today, you see people fighting and knocking each other's teeth out, and we take pictures of them. We don't say, oh my goodness, we got to split this. No, we are like, oh no. And that's not just the young generation. Even the old generation does it right now. We just judge and judge and never come to, we judge what's wrong and never say, how can I be a part of the solution? We judge what's not going great. How can I be part of the solution? We don't say that. That is your soul that is hot. What about bitterness? Bitterness is very much rooted in your soul. It's not because you don't know it. Your soul is so scarred, it holds bitterness even when bitterness destroys it. That's some stuff we got to think about. That is the stuff that destroys the soul, being judgmental, bitterness. And also we can be rebellious. No matter what people say, you're going to be rebellious anyway. But the soul is so scarred, all the only place it comes alive is when it's angry and rebellious. I was once that guy. As I played soccer, the only time I came alive is when war was breaking out. It's a nice time to get alive. Your soul goes. You justify your positions. Why? Because you will not hear God. You've never laid your soul open to the Word of God to speak to that soul in such a way that there's no argument but submission and letting God transform you. In fact, we tend to think that submission is weakness. It's strength to hear God that way. That you're no longer afraid of anything on this world, but you're going to give it to God. I remember counting the cost and someone said, are you ready to die for Christ? And I thought to myself, I said, wow, that's a difficult proposition, to die for Christ. I took a week to think about it. I said, I think I am. Now, we don't live in the 21st, in the first century. Nobody's going to kill you for Christ unless you're in a country somewhere that I don't want to mention. But this is the stuff that hits your soul. Let God stretch your soul. So how do you deal with judgment, bitterness, rebellion? How does that happen? God has to stretch your soul. Romans 5 verse 1 through 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. That we glory in our suffering because what we know what? It actually produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Character is driven by your soul. The reason it's so hard to change character things is your soul. The scars in your soul get in the way. It says perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts. You remember that's coming up now through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let God stretch your soul. The way God stretches our soul, and if you can read even Romans, it says that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. So how does God stretch your soul? Is that you go through things in life that if you don't heal and make Jesus Lord in that space, you will never come to a space of hearing God from your soul. Because that scar then has held you back forever. And I got to tell you something. Everybody will go through a traumatizing situation in life. Some of you have gone through it and you don't even know it. The reason the world copes by smoking, drinking, getting all kind of things, sexual immorality, they're coping with scars in their souls. They have so much pain that they cannot hold it down. They're going to go to something. It's in their soul that it's taking them up. And to do that, let God stretch your soul. You may be going through issues and you don't realize that God is stretching your soul and he wants you to persevere. But not only that, come to him and change, have hope. A place of hope is joyful. It doesn't, you don't give up. You're not resentful. You're not angry. Is that what God is doing to you? Are you letting Him stretch you? When you're doing stretches, it's the muscles very painful. But you know that if you stretch some more, that's how you get back. And to win, you have to keep stretching and keep stretching, and you get stronger and stronger. If you don't stretch, the muscles get weaker and weaker. And over time, you start having pains you've never had before. Yeah. If you never walked for a week and stayed in bed, we'll have to take you to physiotherapy to teach you how to walk. Because the muscles won't stretch for that week. Similarly, if you don't let your soul to be stretched, spiritually you're going to lose your walking methods. That's an analogy. And many of us don't like to exercise your heart, your spirit, your soul at all. Oh, I don't like to exercise because when I exercise I have this and that. Well, you can stretch in your house. Just in your house. There's all kinds of stretches that you can just roll over the bed and make exercises down there. There's no reason why not to allow God to stretch your soul. And when we don't let the soul to be stretched, we get stuck there with judgment, bitterness, and rebellion. Because the soul is not being stretched and moving on. When that happens, when we're stretched, we come here. God begins to walk with us. Deal with pain and trauma in your life. Don't just get angry on God. If God was here, why is God allowing it? Read Habakkuk, and you'll see what the Bible says about that. Deal with it in a way that you come to a place of peace. Take responsibility for your struggles. You know, we can just blame everyone. Let me say this. Life is not a fair place. But we depend on God to take us through these tumultuous times. Make sense? It's not the place to say, oh my goodness, what's wrong with God? No, 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 no. God is trying to get you back to Him. You go through that to find God. Take responsibility for your struggles. Don't get angry and resentful. Let God give you peace. Imagine me having a problem and says, why is Joe such a tall guy and I'm not a tall guy? And I'm angry. My dad was the height of Joe, thereabout. I don't know why I ended up this guy, but my grandfather was this guy. And I can take that to the bank and argue all I want. I'm not taking responsibility of just God, thank you for what I have. You cannot live like that. We've got to take responsibility and not use those reasons to not connect with God or have great relationships in the church. Confess sin to God and to others. James 5 talks about confessions to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. James, 1 John talks of the same story, talking to one another, being safe, making sure that we talk about these things. The idea that you keep that stuff in and does nothing, it does something to your soul. There's a reason why young children are so bright. You look at their eyes, they're so bright. And as we age, sometimes we lose that brightness. Now, I understand if you look at my eyes because I need glasses, I may look a bit dull. Like, you know, I'm not as bright as I used to. But there's energy coming out of it, I hope. You need to do that. Allow safe people in your life. We've got to learn to build safe relationships, friendships that really transform our lives. But this is a soul issue. This is not an issue of knowing what's wrong and right. You've got to go back to Hebrews chapter 4 and let the word of God convict you. God bless you.